problem started right back at the beginning with Adam and Eve, didn't it? We saw the way that Adam and then Eve gave in to temptation to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God had told them they shouldn't eat from. And that led to them being banished from the Garden of Eden. And then we see in their children, we read the tragedy of their son Cain killing their son Abel out of jealousy. And then you can see these patterns repeated time and time again throughout the Old Testament. And what becomes very clear is that if you leave people to their own devices, they find it impossible to do good all the time. Even the best of the Old Testament characters show us their weaknesses. They do things that aren't just a bit bad, but actually downright evil. And I was thinking about King David, who is described in the Bible as being a man after God's own heart. We know he was someone who worshipped God passionately, and he was clearly a man of prayer. If you read the Psalms, you see the way that he pours out all his thoughts, all his feelings, and his adoration of God. And yet, we know that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He ordered the commander of his army to ensure that the death of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. So even the best people in the Old Testament, we can see, and obviously in right through life, can still do things that are wrong. But God wanted, and he still wants, a close relationship with every person that he has created. And he'd promised that he would never again destroy the earth. So he had to come up with another solution to deal with all of our human inclinations to do wrong. And of course, that was to send his only son, Jesus, to be born, to live as a human, and then to die for us, to sacrifice his life in our place, so that all the wrong things we have done or ever will do would be forgiven. So if we skip forward to our gospel reading from today, we see Jesus at the start of his public ministry. And the first thing he does is he gets baptized by John. Now we know that Jesus is perfectly good, so he wouldn't really have needed to repent in the same way that John was calling everybody else at that time to repent. But Jesus on earth was fully human, and I think that he got baptized in order to show his humanity, to align himself with the people around him. And then there's this amazing moment that we just read about as Jesus is coming out the water. He sees the Spirit descending on him, and he hears this voice from heaven: "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Jesus, in his fully humanness, must have been feeling daunted at the start of his ministry on earth. And I love the fact that his heavenly Father recognized that and spoke to him to encourage him. Straight after this, we read that the Spirit led him out into the wilderness and he was tempted. We've just heard a very short account of that in this gospel from Mark, but we can hear much longer accounts in the Gospels in Luke and Matthew, and they talk about the actual temptations that Jesus had to face. And here we see the difference between Jesus and us. When he was tempted, he didn't give in. I think it's much harder for us. And in Lent, we have 40 days to prepare ourselves for Easter, to look inside ourselves and to see if there are things that we need to put right with God, we need to repent of. I'm sure there are many times when you don't give in to temptation to do or say the wrong thing. But there are also times when I think all of us do. And as we've said, we are human. And Jesus was the only human that was perfect, that was without sin. The rest of us will all sin from time to time. And that's why we all needed, and we still need, Jesus' self-giving sacrifice in order to enable us to have that full and free relationship with him. This doesn't mean that we can go around doing what we want to and going around doing wrong in the knowledge that we're going to be forgiven. Because we know, because we've just been looking over the last few months, haven't we, about our journey with Jesus and our journey to become more like Jesus. And so we're all going to be trying to live our lives more the way that he would. And so that's why we have this period of reflection and in the church's calendar to allow us to do that reflecting in the lead up to Easter. But I do want to just say to us, it's really important not to beat ourselves up at this time as well. This isn't a time for kind of saying that we are really terrible. We have to remember that we are human, and God doesn't see us as complete failures if we get something wrong, because he's a God of love, and he knows us and he understands us. So if you're going to examine yourselves over this period, that's great, but please be kind to yourselves at the same time. Lent is a time when we traditionally give things up, but sometimes it's a time when we instead make a deliberate choice to do something different in the 6 weeks leading up to Easter. So I was going to think about, ask you maybe to think about God's promise given to Noah in this visual of the rainbow that comes there at this time when we have this mix of rain and of sun. And perhaps in the next few weeks, I was going to invite you to perhaps spend a little bit more time than you would normally reading your Bible, thinking about the hope that you have because of your faith. And also thinking about the promises of God or the verses in the Bible that encourage you and give you hope. God makes so many promises to us in the Bible. He promises never to leave us or forsake us. He promises to strengthen us, to care for us, to free us from sin, and to love us with an everlasting love, as well as many, many other promises. So what are the promises that you need to take hold of and believe in more strongly? What are the verses that give you hope and encouragement in difficult times? During this time, as you're reading your Bible, if you come across a verse that's really helpful, you could write it down and stick it somewhere where you're going to see it regularly, maybe put it on your fridge. You could even, if you're feeling creative, draw a rainbow underneath it to remind you of God's promises for you. So I'm going to give us a moment of quiet now, and then we're going to pray. Father God, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for the hope that we have in you. We thank you for the covenant that you made with mankind that we can see represented in that rainbow. I pray that in these next few weeks you would speak to us and remind us of those promises as we travel through Lent with you. Amen.